The Lord put on my heart to share with you today from Luke chapter 23. This is one of those very, very rich texts from the Bible. It's so much put into it. It talks about the crucifixion of Jesus. Everything that God promised in the past and everything that Jesus came to do was aimed at that point where he comes and fulfills the gospel, fulfills God's plan to pay for our sins and to die for our sins. But there's something that happens there. I want to read today from Luke chapter 23. We'll start in verse 32. Luke chapter 23. Starting in verse 32, it talks about when Jesus was crucified. Two other men, both criminals, were also led out with him to be executed. When they came to the place called the Skull, they crucified him there along with the criminals, one on his right, the other on his left. Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." And they divided up his clothes by casting lots. The people stood watching, and the rulers even sneered at him. They said, "He saved others. Let him save himself if he's God's Messiah, the chosen one." The soldiers also came up and mocked him. They offered him wine vinegar and said, "If you are the King of Jews, save yourself." There was a written notice above him which read, "This is the King of the Jews." One of the criminals who hung their hurled insults at him, "Aren't you the Messiah? Save yourself and us." But the other criminal rebuked him. "Don't you fear God?" he said, "since you are under the same sentence. We are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Jesus answered him, "Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise." So I'm sure we all heard about this situation, about what happened here. And there's so many things we can share from here. What happened at the cross? The things that happened there, like I said, it's so rich in value. Like we can speak about so many things. But the Lord put on my heart, especially when I read about this promise that Jesus says, "Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise." Well, this man probably did some things right. If he ended up in paradise, he did something right. So the Lord showed me five lessons that I want to learn from this man. I want to share with you today those five lessons the Lord put on my heart from this man. First one is, it's never too late to run to Christ. It's never too late to run to Christ, to come to God and talk to Him and try to set things right. This man, he lived his life. He was a criminal, the Bible says. Well, it's obvious. It was not a small sin he committed. Maybe he's stolen something. Maybe something wrong. And it was not a small thing, you know, in order to be crucified. They probably did something that this was as a punishment worthy for what they did. Sometimes they would just sit and commit these big robberies, like people traveling from places to places, and these were people that commit big crimes, and the final result or the final punishment was for them to be crucified. So it was a way of life for him. It was not something, well, just happened and I ended up here. It was a way of his life. Well, one of the things that he probably could say, and this is a strategy that Satan uses over and over again. He starts from a young age and he says, "Well, it's too early for you to follow God. It's too early for you to, you know, just enjoy life. Have fun. I was tempted the same way. Well, when you are older, well, then it's, you know, time and old, you know, churches for old people and for people who cannot have fun anymore. So what you do? You just go to, you know, and just do the right thing. That's a strategy that Satan uses. And then if people don't listen and they just, you know, enjoy themselves and they ignore God and just they live their lives, they come later in life. And now Satan comes with the second temptation and he says, it's about too late. How dare you go and say, would you please forgive me, Father? You wasted your life. You ignored him all your life. And you did just live for yourself. And you just did all these things, these terrible things. Now you're a criminal. You're just hanging right there and just be brave enough and pay for your own mistakes. How dare you tell Jesus, Jesus, please remember me. That's Satan trying to always, always push us either, you know, one way or the other so we don't do the right thing. Well, the first lesson that I learned for myself, it's never too late nor too early to serve the Lord. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 3, verse 15, today, if you hear His voice, do not harden your hearts. Today, if you hear God speaking, it's such a blessing when we hear God's voice. Jesus was there preaching day after day in Jerusalem. But one day he was looking over the city and he wept. And he says, today these things are hidden from you. Because you did not recognize the time when I searched your heart, when I spoke into you, and you just ignored that time. So that's a warning for us. We have to be careful. Because Satan will always say, well, yes, serve the Lord. Yes, be a passionate follower of Christ. Give your life to Christ. Do something for Him, but not today. Just take care of yourself. Just do what I have to do. And then maybe later, you will find time for Him. And there's always, always something that Satan brings on our table. Well, those of you who know YouTube, what YouTube is, I'm sure, starting from the youngest to the oldest here, YouTube has something for us to keep 25 hours out of 24 busy. Do you agree with that? Everybody has something. If you're a kid, well, there is something there for you. If you're an old person, there's something for me too. And God is looking at me, and He's just saying, today, if you hear my voice, don't harden your heart. Don't do that. In Acts chapter 17, verse 30, it says that God overlooks the times of ignorance. But now He commands all people from everywhere to repent. Including me, including you. Today is the time to follow the Lord. Today is the time to hear His voice. I heard a proverb. It blessed me. It says, you heard that? The best time to plant a tree was 20 years ago. The second best time is
today.
Now, the best time to do something like was 20 years ago, long time ago. But now is the second best time, not tomorrow. Now is the second best time. And this thief on the cross understood that. It was not too late for him. Even though he was moments from dying, he took advantage and said, Jesus, please remember me. I'm a sinner. I deserve to die, he said. And also, salvation is not just a ticket to get to heaven. Because if you have that mentality, have you seen like trains, usually in India, when people try to get into a train and they just, you know, squeeze everybody and they push in. And the last person just, you know, somehow pushes himself in there and the clothes sometimes don't even properly close. And he just got in there and he's happy. He catched the train. Well, salvation is not just the train that we try to catch to get to heaven. Salvation is a process where God is trying to make us more and more into His image, starting here on earth. And for that, it's not too late. For that man on the cross, in a way, it was too late to have all this process. For example, he could have met his neighbors maybe next day. He could have, in a week or so, if he was somewhere, he says, hey, I'm not like that anymore, like Paul was. He was the one who persecuted the church. And now he says, Paul in Galatians, he says, I have been crucified with Christ. And it's not me who, it's not... And I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. Galatians 2:20. So Paul was involved into this discipleship progress. Jesus told, go in the whole world and don't sell tickets to heaven. He said, make disciples. It's not too late to become a disciple. It's not too late to come before the Lord and say, Lord, I want to be one of your disciples. At the cross, we see people who knew about Jesus. They knew about God. And yet they did not want to become disciples or followers. Instead, they were looking there at Jesus. And the Bible says, Romans, the priests, all those people around, including these thieves, they said, if you are the Son of God, do this. We tell you what to do. God did not call me or you to give Him directions what to do. God called us to follow Him. And yet these people said, aha, we got you. So now if you're a Son of God, save yourself and save us too. Now prove if you're the Son of God. We got you into this situation. You better prove yourself if you want us to believe. These are not people who want to become disciples. They want to squeeze God in whatever they want with their lives. The same temptation is today, brothers and sisters. So many times, Satan comes and says, well, if you are truly a Christian, this and this and this should be happening in your life. If God loves you, you should have a better car maybe. You should have better this and better that. And instead of me following Christ, I just tell God what to do with me. Or for me. These were people who talk like that with Jesus. Not even His brothers and sisters, the Bible says, did not believe in Him. John chapter 7, starting verse 3. They told Him, like, leave the Galilee and go to Judea and show yourself to the world and go and do these miracles before people. So they try to like tell Jesus what to do. And Jesus did not do what everybody wanted Him to do. He always listened to the Father and followed His instructions. We are not called just to respond to impulses. Like just to do whatever our impulses say, our emotions. We are called to be led by the Spirit of God. And in whatever situation we are, we should come before God and say, Father, what do you want me to do right now? And the Lord, I'm sure, He will talk to us. He will lead us. So it's not too late to start to have the heart and the ear of a disciple that is quick to hear and say, Lord, I'm here to listen. Speak to me. I want to follow you. I'm not here to give you instructions, to give you directions what to do with my life, to do around me or for me. Lord, I'm here to fulfill what you have for my life, and I want to follow you. The second lesson I learned at the cross from this thief, it is that it's never too complicated to understand God's message. See, when He was there, He was on the cross. Given the circumstances, He was on the cross. It was not like us in a church in a comfortable seat. He was there dying in agony. And yet somehow this man understood clearly what he has to do. It was not too complicated for him to reconcile with God, to set things right with God. It just shows us the simplicity of the gospel. No magic words, no complicated formulas. Or like, you know, Jesus did not tell him, well, yeah, you want to repent? Yes, well, repeat this prayer after me. Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. I'm not mocking this. I know God loves people, and sometimes maybe some of us came to the Lord that way. When God searched my heart as a teenager, nobody told me what to do, how much to cry, how much to feel sorry for my sins. It was natural inside. It was not complicated for this man. When he saw Jesus, first he mocked too. Matthew and Mark, I believe both of them say, both criminals mocked Jesus. They all, both talked to him. Probably this guy thought, well, you can do something about this. Why don't you save yourself? You just got the key. Unlock the door. Let us walk. Why you just don't do nothing for that? It just shows how he humbled himself. And now when he was there, he says these words, Lord, well, actually he talks to the other guy. We deserve to die. It is right for us to die. Because we just, it is right. We did wrong and here we are. And he did not blame the Romans because, well, they catched him, or the parents, or the neighbors, or the friends, or nothing. He said, Lord, I deserve this. Lord, I am guilty. Lord, I am guilty. Remember me when you come into your kingdom. So simple, such a simple prayer. Such a simple prayer. And Jesus said, well, are you sure? Did you memorize, like, this gospel, or did you, I mean, what, I'm just trying to say in today's words, this man was so simple and humble, and he just said, Lord, save me, in other words, save me, Lord. It's simple. The gospel is simple. Sometimes we just look and we think it's complicated. Where I come from, majority of people are Orthodox. So when you go into an Orthodox church, you have to know how to behave. For example, before you enter, I think you have to make like a cross gesture, and then you have to know what to do, what not to do. And when you invite people to church, for example, to our churches, well, sometimes they say, I don't know how to behave. What's appropriate? What's not appropriate? Well, there's room for that. You don't want to just look weird somewhere. But it just should be simple, right? When we come before the Lord. And if you just feel something on your heart, just talk it. Just say it. Just whatever the words you have. Sometimes I don't even have words to say. How frustrated I am. For example, if I fall into another, you know, I grumble something, or I get angry in my heart. Sometimes I'm so just tired, I say, Lord, how did they do that again? And I believe the Lord looks at me and he says, today you'll be with me in paradise. Because I mean it, because it's in my heart, because we just don't limit God to whatever we want him, how he, we want him to work. When we look in the book of Acts, we see that the church was born. The church was baptized with the Holy Spirit. They were filled with the Holy Spirit. They were transformed. Well, it happened in different ways. Some people were just listening. And while just listening, like you are today, to this sermon, they were just filled with the Holy Spirit. Upon others, the apostles, they prayed and laid their hands, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit. Others were just praying together. God can work in our lives. As we just sit right here in the church, God is not limited to whatever we understanding have about Him. If we have the burning desire inside, God is eager to work in our lives. We see the simplicity of the gospel. This man, like the Bible says, if you declare with your mouth, that's Romans chapter 10, verses 9 through 10, if you declare with your mouth, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. So this man had both. Well, other translations, in this one it says just, he said Jesus in verse 42. In Romanian translation, and I looked into the King James Version, that's what he says, he called him Lord. He told to Jesus, Lord, remember me. It was a sign of humbling himself and acknowledging that he's Lord. He said, Lord, remember me. So he had conviction in his heart. He acknowledged he was a sinner. He acknowledged as Jesus as Lord. And then he confessed with his mouth. And that's why we see that this man was saved. Because he confessed and he repented. So whatever situation we are in, like I said, he was in different circumstances. We are in different circumstances. Other times, there's a young man that comes to Jesus and asks Jesus, what should I do to inherit eternal life? Well, Jesus did not say, well, today you'll be with me in paradise. He said, go and sell everything you have and then come and follow me. Because that was his circumstances. That was his sin that he needed to get rid of. That was his situation. So as we stay before the Lord today, I am sure that God can show us what the situation is. And usually, if we are honest enough, most of the time, if not all the time, we know exactly what God wants from us to do. It is just hard to do. Isn't that right? It's not like, Lord, I don't know what you mean. Die to yourself and take your cross and follow me. It's not that. Just say, Lord, to this person, to my wife, to my husband, to my child, just go and say, I was wrong, forgive me. The gospel is simple. It's pure. It's not hard to understand. It's just because our ego is so big. Sometimes we miss what God wants from us. Not because it's too complicated. Second lesson of the cross I learned from this thief, from this criminal, is that it's not too complicated. It's not too hard to listen to God. If God was able to talk to Samuel, God can talk to us too. We just have to be eager to listen and have that desire in our heart. Lord, I'm thirsty for you. Lord, I want to be pleasing to you. Lord, search my heart, like David said. If there's something wrong there, Lord, show me. And David was quick and ready to fix whatever it was to be fixed. May the Lord help us to be like that. Amen? That's the second lesson I learned. The third one, it's never about our works, but our faith in Christ. This man died for whatever crimes he committed. So, if the physical death was the punishment for the sins, then this man, just in a few minutes, he would just pay for the sins, and he would be clear, right? Because he paid for if the physical death was the punishment for sin. We all die. If that's the payment for the salvation, well, God should just look at us and say, yep, you sinned, but you died, so you're good now. That's not true. The physical death was not the hardest thing that Jesus went through at the cross, even though it was terrifying. It was agonizing. People would go out of conscience and back and forth, and it was agonizing. I could not watch the Passion of the Christ. The moment where he, and this is a movie, this is not, you know, for real. I think I read that when they used that, when they beat him with those, what is it called? Weeping? I don't know what is it called.
Cat of nine tails.
Yes, thank you. So usually the actor had something to protect his skin, but one of those strings just somehow got out and just smashed him. And he almost like went crazy, and I don't know if he lost consciousness or something, but one of those hit him. I'm not sure if it's true or not, but The physical pain was immense. I cannot even imagine what it was. But even though this was hard, the hardest thing, when Jesus was at the cross, he did not say, my God, why crucifixion? Why not just being stoned to death? Why not? He did not pray that. You all know what Jesus said when he was there. He said, my God, why have you forsaken me? That was the hardest thing for Jesus to go through, not the physical pain. It was the moment when the Father, and he's the first time we see in the Bible, he calling the Father God. Because in that moment, he was the sin itself. He became sin for us. And the God from heaven just turned away. He could not see that. He had to be right. So he punished him fully. And he experienced the eternal separation from God right there at the cross from us. It was not the physical pain alone, because otherwise this man would say, Lord, I paid for my own sin. So when we stay before the Lord, we just come here. The Bible says, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourself. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. So in it is not our physical death that we pay. We die because we pay for our ancestors' sin. God said, the moment you're going to eat, you're going to die. So it came a day when they died physically too. But this is not paying for the sins, brothers and sisters. It is the eternal separation from the Father, from God, that Jesus experienced. And he became sin for us. He experienced that agony, that wrath of God, that anger of God towards sin. And God from heaven punished him for me. That's what was going on right there. Those people thought, okay, we got you. Now you're there. Okay, you're going to die. And in that moment, Jesus was paying for our sins. So may we never forget that. At the cross, usually when we have the Lord's Supper, sometimes we just look at the physical pain. And it was hard. It was very hard. You could not watch such a thing. But may we never forget, the hardest thing was when Jesus went through hell for us, when he became sin for us, and he said, you have to never be a slave to sin again because I experienced all this for you. If I commit one sin and it gets exposed in front of everybody, remember the recent, maybe you watched the news, the husband who cheated on his wife was in a concert with another woman that was not his wife. And they were just there, they thinking they have a good time, and they have this big screen on the stadium, whatever, and just the camera focuses on them, and they're supposed to kiss. I think this is a couple. It's a nice little thing. And this, the moment the camera was on them, they both just went in shame, one down and just trying to hide because they were committing a sin. Well, now think, this was a sin they committed and just, try to avoid, to hide it. Jesus had to have all the sin in the world, past, present, future, concentrate that in one pill, into one cup. And the Father said, now drink it. Experience all the humility, all the rejection, all the guilt, everything that the sin is bringing. The sin is just death. And Jesus had to drink that from me. May we never forget that. This is the third lesson I learned from this faith at the cross. Even though he was paying in a way for his own mistakes, he in no way was paying for his salvation. Jesus was paying for his salvation. I hope my daughters will not be upset on me. They just shared with me this joy this morning. Sorry, that's just being the kids of a preacher. But I believe this will be helpful for all of us as a church to hear that. So they just drive through today this morning. And they order something and somebody in front of them pays for them. And they're so excited. It was a nice thing. But I'm thinking, what if they just pull up to the window and they say, oh, you owe $1 million for just what you order? Would they be able to pay? What if you just pull up to the window and say, well, you owe $1 million, not because you ordered something, but because somebody behind you ordered for $1 million and you have to pay for them. Would you pay for them? No. Well, Jesus pulled to that window and he said, I'll pay for those in front of me, for those behind me, for everybody. Sometimes we feel good when people do this nice gesture and like a chain of kindness and, you know, well, they paid me for my $15, I'll pay for their $10, and, you know, the things go like that or whatever. It's a nice thing. But usually we do something in our ability to pay. We could never pay for what Jesus paid in front of us. The best we can do is just love each other, pay cents to each other. Show our love, like we just heard this morning. Not because we have that, because we owe Him. Say, Lord, I am sure if that thief would get down from the cross by some miracle that day, we see another guy who just got delivered from demons, and he said, Jesus, let me just follow you. I love you, Lord, let me follow. And Jesus told him, go back to your hometown and tell them what God did for you. That's what the gospel is about. Not trying to pay for our own sins, for our own whatever we do. It is a show that we have for God to say, Lord, let me just show her, him, all of them, how much I love you. Let me wash their feet, Lord, as if I'm washing your feet. That's what I genuinely believe. If I help any of you, if I do anything for you, I want you to remember, I see Jesus in you. I try to cultivate that in me. Not because I'm a super nice man. Not because, well, I try to be nice to my neighbor. I just repaired the mower for Jesus days ago, months ago. Because my neighbor needs help. I could help. And I said, Lord, please. The thief on the cross did not have that opportunity. He could not get down. He could not even hug Jesus. I'm not sure if he could just look in the eyes. I don't know what position. One left, one right. I'm not sure if Jesus was slightly in front or slightly back. I don't know. He could not shake his hand. He could not just go, Lord, let me do just at least one thing for you. He could not do it. And yet today, I can do it. I can say, Lord, you told me to believe in you. Lord, I believe you. Lord, you asked me to be baptized. I'll be baptized, Lord. You called me, Lord, to love my neighbor. I'll love them, Lord. Not because I'm trying to impress you, just because you paid in front of me, Lord, when I owed millions, even more than that, nothing that I could pay. The fourth lesson I learned from this faith, it is that salvation, it's always personal. He said, Lord Jesus, verse 42, remember me. Not remember me and my body. Lord, remember me. It's personal. As much as I love my wife and she loves me, this is not a transfer. It's not a transaction we can do between us when it comes to the salvation. You have to believe. If you confess with your mouth, you'll be saved. I cannot confess with her mouth. It has to be, if you believe in your heart, you'll be saved. This is personal. These two guys, one left, one right of Jesus, they were so close, probably a couple feet from each other, and yet they were just minutes away from just being forever separated, just because one of them chose to repent in the last moment. It's personal. May we all remember that when we come to church, it's a personal decision we have to make. Follow me, Jesus said. You follow me. Lord, but what's going to happen to John, Peter said. What's about him? None of your business. You follow me. What I have for him in store, it's for him. You follow me. Sometimes it's hard to follow the Lord when you see maybe your wife or your husband or your children or your parents. They're not doing well with the Lord. It's very hard. But may we always remember, when Jesus was on the cross, yes, his mom was there, John was there, but most of the disciples, all of them, they just ran away. Jesus was not like Peter when he was in prison and the church was praying and supporting him and just, you know, just being a support for him. Jesus was alone, and yet, right there, he did not give up. He did not start to justify himself, but it's not my fault, but why this, but why that? This is what I was called to do. I came for this, and he chose to do that. He did that. He had that personal commitment before the Father, and he told me, and you follow me. May we remember that. If the church can be a blessing for us, and we thank God for godly people that can encourage us and can, you know, sometimes we just feel so easy, like, you know, when there's a right atmosphere in the church, there's, you know, and we feel so easy to love and to hug, but it's still, those people maybe, you know, helped or in a way to experience God's presence, but it all comes to the personal decision we have all to make. It's a personal decision. This guy said, Lord, remember me, Lord. And I believe the other guy could say, Lord, I had no idea what I... Lord, just say, please forgive me, Lord. Remember me too, Lord. And I'm sure they both could be just hand in hand, go to heaven, being the first fruit of the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross. And yet just one chose. It's a personal decision. I grew up in a Christian family. My parents did the best they could to raise me up. But it came a moment where I said, Lord, I realized that I'm a sinner. My sin, Lord, put you on the cross. And I choose today. Not because mama says so. Not because my dad says so. Not because it's the pressure I have to. Lord, I realized personally. And I have to do what I have to do to follow you. That's the fourth lesson. And I'll come to the close with the fifth one. The fifth lesson I learned, it's always certain. It's always certain when we come to the Lord and we do what he asks from us to do. He never just gives us a hint where, well, I'll think about you. I'll see what, you know. It was very certain. He assured him and says, today, not tomorrow, not we'll see. Today, you and me will be together in paradise. Praise the Lord for that. When we follow the Lord, when we just commit to him, he gives us this assurance. Romans chapter 8, verse 16 says, The Spirit of God himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Praise the Lord for that. God gives us that assurance. Sometimes Satan is just attacking us. He comes to us. Do you see how from the beginning he tried to kill Jesus? Even when he was born, and then as he grows and he was taken into the wilderness, when Satan came to him, he said, if you are the Son of God, do this, do this, do that. Jesus did not say, well, let me prove you beyond the reason of doubt. You will see today that I'm the Son of God. He did not do that. Even after he rose from the dead, he did not go to those unbelieving priests and, you know, all those people and say, ta-da, you know, here I am. Can now you believe? He did not do that. He did not try to go and prove this. People had this, like, Satan comes with this, like, constantly bringing doubt in us. And even at the cross here, says, well, if you are the Son of God, now prove, and we might believe in you. We'll just give you this favor to believe you. They had no idea. Just like my daughters were just sitting there. I don't know. They're probably chatting. They had no idea. A couple feet in front of them, somebody was paying for them. People had no idea right there in front of them. The Son of God was going through hell for them, for us, for me, and for you. May we remember that sometimes we'll learn from rich people, from famous people, well, Elon Musk, what are the 5 secrets you'd share with us for being successful, or go to maybe the president or some other people? Today we go to a man that could not boast about anything but his mistakes, and yet he did something right. In the last moments of his life, he teaches us it's never too late or too early to follow Jesus, to come to him. It's never too complicated. The Lord will show you what to do, what to say, or what not to say to be his disciple, to follow him. It's never too complicated. There's no confusion with God. There's a price to pay, and that's what we're scared of. It's not because it's too complicated. Fishermen were the foundation, the leaders of the church. Fishermen. If Jesus wanted something complicated, he would just go to the school of Gamaliel and pick some very bright people. Say, whoops, yep, right there. He chose simple people. When Jesus tried to restore Peter, he goes to him and says, Peter, he asked a very, very complicated question. We'll read that in the last chapter of John. He asked Peter, do you love me? Mm-hmm. Is that complicated?
Nope.
It's just hard to do what Jesus said after that. Follow me, take care of my sheep. Show that love towards other people. It's never about our works. It's never we trying somehow to be good to pay back. It's never about that. It's always personal. We have to choose. We have to choose. And God always can do such things. Cast all the doubt out and give you that assurance that you'll be with him. People might think you are just lost your mind. You have no idea where you're going. What's going on with your life? You just ruined your life. You don't know how to live your youth or maybe your whatever to prove your point or to do this or to do other thing. If you say like Paul, it's not longer I who lives but Christ in me. Christ to make his home in your heart and my heart. And you will see personally that's the best thing that can happen to a human being. May the Lord help never forget these lessons. Amen.